relationship with you and our trust in you, and we learn to wait for you. And bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start this morning by doing two things. First, I'm going to make a couple announcements. Doggone it. I'll just let you know that on the 20th and 21st, we'll have David Parker here again. And yeah, he's just a wonderful guy. And so he's going to meet with us first on the 20th at 9 o'clock, which is earlier than we normally do it. But you'll just have to set your alarm a little earlier. And he's going to do the first 2 hours of our prophetic gathering. And everybody's welcome to that. He's going to talk about the prophetic and what he's experienced and what he understands. Now, David, at one time, was in Kansas City, and his role was to oversee these prophetic guys like John Paul Jackson and Bob Jones and Paul Kane. And he would go on the road with them when they went to teach places, and he would be there as like the safety net, you know, because there are those people that have that gift that don't have the gift of teaching, but they get invited into churches to teach anyway. And so David was there in damage control. There are things that he knows that he won't share, and none of them immoral or anything, but they might be a little sketchy. I mean, he had quite a role and responsibility, and he really appreciates and understands that gift. He's the one who told me years ago that the prophetic people see things in high definition. And so when they see things, they look like it's right here and right now. And so when they share it, in that vein, that this is what God is doing now. But maybe he's going to do that 20 years from now or 25 years from now. Or like in Jeremiah's case, when the Lord spoke through him, he was saying that the Lord is going to bless you. The Lord is for you. And he's going to come through for you in 70 years. That's the good news and the bad news right there. That's one of my favorite verses to use in talking about context of Scripture. That is made into a Hallmark card and all kinds of other greetings, and it's lovely. But what really makes it good is to know the context, and to know that he was speaking to a people that were in captivity, enslaved by another country, and that God was still with them, and God was going to build in them and through them, and he was going to come through for them in 70 years. And that puts it in a whole different light than just a Hallmark card. Now, I'm as guilty as the next person of using those verses that way, but it doesn't really explain the whole context. Anyway, David will share with us that morning the prophetic meeting, and then he'll continue to talk about the Bible and how we can handle it, how we can understand it more thoroughly. So he'll do that the rest of the day Saturday, and then he'll come and preach on Sunday, of course. Okay? So back to this. This is our vision statement, which you may or may not be familiar with, but it really will be what we preach on or under the umbrella of this entire year. And it will be what we, even if we have guests in here, they'll be preaching in the context of this vision statement. Because we really believe in it, and we believe what God wants to do with us. It says, we believe that God's rule and reign is expanding on the earth, and that the power of God is available for healing, deliverance, and salvation. As a church, it's our desire to see each person living fully for God in their calling. We stand with men and women to help them come into God's high purpose. And that's what we're going to feed, and that's what we're going to encourage. And part of the way that we're going to encourage that is by doing what we're going to do this next few weeks. And that's I'm going to hand out a thing in a minute that it's a program for reading through the Bible, through the New Testament in 40 days. And I want to do that together. And so I'll hand those out in a minute, but I don't trust you right now, so I want your full attention. And I, you'll know what would happen. You'd be fiddling with them and everything. You'd be finding mistakes. But one of the things that concerns me about myself and for you is that we be a people of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I know that the first 400 years of the church, and probably the more accurately, the first 1,500 years of the church, there were no Bibles. Okay? There were fragments or portions, but it wasn't compiled until the 1500s, and it didn't get distributed to many people until the 1500s with Gutenberg. And then those Bibles only got into the hands of the ruling class and those, but never in the peasants couldn't read, and nor did they encourage them to read. So what did the church do for that first 1,500 years? What Bible verse could they lean on? Probably none. They had the apostles, and they had some of the letters distributed. But one of the letters was from John, and he wrote to a church in Asia Minor that was, you know, under attack with ideas and concepts that were antichrist. And you know what he said? You know what he said to the church? I think his most incredible thing, if you know the context, he said, "You have an anointing from the Holy One. You know the truth." That's pretty nervy. Trusting the people to know the truth for themselves? That's pretty scary. That would scare me half death. there's something I use for this. I mean, I think that, of course, we need to be full of the Word of God. At this point in time, we'd have a whole different situation. But we have to be filled with the Spirit of God to know the truth. And then we have to be in connection with the body of Christ. I don't think you can trust yourself to know God's will perfectly. And I'll explain. Well, I was at one point in time, 9 million years ago, I had been just reading the Word, and all of a sudden I got this revelation. I don't even know what it was now, but I was pretty doggone excited about it. And so I went over to John and Carol's house, and John wasn't home. He was traveling. And so I shared this incredible revelation with Carol. And I got nothing. I mean, it did not resonate with anything in her. And she had been a Christian a long time. She knew the Bible quite well. But she thought what I was saying was kind of nuts. And she didn't say that, but I could see that in the look on her face. And it kind of like poured a wet, bucket of water on my enthusiasm. And there's two things about that that are wonderful. One is, yes, I could have had personal revelation that was wonderful. But two is, if I wasn't willing to test it with those who are more mature and not be willing to let a bucket of water be thrown on it, then I probably don't have much confidence in it. So if you do have those revelations, you might want to test them out. I mean, I was in England a few years back, and there was a front page story about a vicar and this woman and the vicar's wife. And they were literally the couple that weren't married thought that God was calling them to be married. But the only problem was he was already married. So they were just praying that God would take the life of this guy's wife so that they could be together. Yeah. But you know what is, I'll tell you this. Trust me, that is not unusual. That is not unusual. Those kind of revelations, those kind of understandings happen all the time. And that's why it's so important to be willing to be share what share what you think you're hearing, and test it. Test the Spirit and see if it's God. So what we're going to do, I'm going to hand out a thing in a minute, and what I want to do is have us all reading the Bible for 40 days. And what I'm doing, and you don't have to do any of this, but what I'm doing is so I can turn off the noise. I mean, try to think about what it's like to even live 200 years or 100 years ago where you don't have immediate communication all the time. You're barraged with all this stuff and the news media and obviously Facebook and other things. And it's just noise. I mean, there's very little benefit in any of it long term. And so what I've decided to do is over the next 40 days, it's a fast from Facebook and most social email. I mean, I'll do my email, but most social media, just ignore it. I think I'm going to live. But pray for me. It actually is going to be very hard for me because I use that as a tool to stay in communication with people all over the world. I got an email from this morning from Mike Pilavachi saying, well, don't delete, Facebook. Just stop, using it. Because he said, I want you to stay in communication and so on and so forth. And I agree with him. I'm not going to get rid of Facebook altogether. I'm just going to take the app off my phone, off my computer, off anything I can get my hands on. I'm weak. And I like that. I like to check things out. So I will not be checking them out for the next 4 days. Well, today. There will be posts from me today, but after today, after midnight, you might see one like at 11:59. What I want more than anything else is just shut out the noise, and I'm talking about everything. I mean, I have friends who are theologians, and I interact with them. I have friends that are floating down the same river, on a different raft. There's a lot of variation in the body of Christ. There are a lot of viewpoints. There are a lot of ideas. And they're not all bad. In fact, some of them are wonderful. Some are brilliant. But I'm just tired of hearing from anybody but the Lord. So I just want to calm my heart, fill my heart and mind with the Word of God, and try to just hear what He's saying. Because I promise you this. He is not saying what our culture is saying. In our culture, cultural ideas and ideology, it comes into play. And we hear it and we see it all the time. Our culture is antichrist. It has been for a long, long time. And not just the American culture, but all culture. They're antichrist. And what God said and what we receive and believe and embrace by faith is that Jesus actually is our answer for life. Okay? We believe that, but we don't believe that. And we do believe it, and sometimes it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe with all the things that happen in our life. The tragedies and difficulty and pain and sorrow, and to think that He's our answer in all those situations, it takes faith, because we are walking by faith. But guess what? Faith gets rewarded. In fact, it's the only thing that God rewards, is our faith in Him and our trust in Him. So, I think it's really important for us to just take time to fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God. And I think that it will actually cause prophetic words to increase, and not increase, but also increase in quality. We learned about 2 years ago, we had a nice couple in to speak to the prophetic group. And And people want to know, well, who gets to go to that? And I've always said, well, anybody who wants to learn more, wants to grow in the prophetic. So they said this incredibly brilliant thing that I have not forgotten, and I forget most things. They said, you just have to remember that your imaginator and your revelator are really close together. So it's easy for us to prophesy what our imagination picks up and not be Lord or be mixed. So it's, I think, one of the ways to do this to clean our palate. You know how they do that at really fancy restaurants? You have a course and then they have a little taste of sherbet or something like that. And you go, what are you doing that for? What? And they say, it's to cleanse your palate so you can enjoy the other things. So I think, I personally, and if this is not you, then this is just about me. But I need to cleanse my palate as I go into this year. You know what this is right here? This is kind of the set point on the horizon. This is seeing where we're going. Because you know when you're driving and you know, it's kind of a little crazy, maybe driving up the mountains and stuff like that, and you go around the curves and all that. The place that you look to is the furthest point on the road, not the point right in front of you, because they'll drive off the mountain. Actually, it makes me kind of dizzy when I go by those little posts, and I get freaked out. But I get freaked out going over bridges, though. The safest way to drive and the most soundest way to drive is to have a set point that we're looking at. You're not totally transfixed by right in front of you. So we have to have something that we're looking at. We have to have something that we're moving towards. So that's what this is. And so, like I said, that's kind of the umbrella in which we do everything. The other thing that's important to understand is that church, you may or may not like this, but I don't care. Church is not a conference. Church is not a conference where there's all kinds of hype, there's all kinds of promise, which ends up not being fulfilled in most cases, in my opinion. I mean, there are like 5,000 life-changing conferences a year that you can choose from. And in most cases, your life is not changed. You know when your life is changed? Oh, this is not going to be really good, make people happy, because it's not sexy. You pick up one foot, then you pick up the other, and you step forward. And you pick up one, and you step forward. You step forward, and you keep doing it. And before you know it, you've changed. Remember Bethany, she's not here today, but she read the scriptures. I mean, like 3 years ago, she would never, ever, ever done that. But she's done that as she's continued in fellowship and continued to learn and take risk and grow so that she was comfortable to do that. And so, but you wouldn't have seen that transformation take place, but we saw it manifest in that moment. There's a whole lot of things that went into that one moment. Well, there's a whole lot of things that go into this transformation of us in Christ. It's stepping into him every single day, in the good times and the bad times, everything in between. Let me read some of the scriptures, and I'll springboard off some of these. Psalm 1 said, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. I laugh because I have a few mockers on Facebook I'll get rid of for a while. they're already telling me how disappointed they are. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on this law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, who does not wither. Do you see that growth take place? You really don't. you just, over time, all of a sudden you look and it's transformed, it's changed, it's fruitful. I'm not saying that we can't have power encounters or times where that happens. I think that that does happen. But let me, another little revelation here. You know why miracles are called miracles? Because they're a miracle. Because they're out of this ordinary pattern of life. It actually means that God, the God who created the heavens and earth, has intervened and interfered with our lives in a dramatic way and changed things dramatically and powerfully. We're very, 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 in my opinion, very loose with that word. And we use it to cover everything. But I'm telling you, its definition is related to the God moving in power and transforming things in an instant that normally take a lifetime. I'm all for it, and I think it's wonderful when it happens. But you know what? It doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. That's why they're called miracles. My son, as you know, my one son, is an addict and is addicted to alcohol, and he's been doing really well. Everybody always asks me how he is, and I say, well, I don't know. How's the grass growing, you know? And it's like, I can't tell. I can't. We'll tell a year from now. But, of course, I keep in touch with him all the time. But it happens just as he does, makes good choices every day and sows to the spirit rather than the flesh. I'm full of things I'm going to say today that you may not agree with. If you don't agree, it's okay. You don't have to agree with me. I don't say what I say without thinking about it. I don't say what I say without having history and a life in God, in the community of God. But I say them because they've been what I've seen, what I've experienced, what I've learned, and what I've known. You may not agree, and that's okay. Don't leave without arguing with me. We have people that leave sometimes because Don, I remember one time Don said something that somebody disagreed with, and that was the last time they ever came. It's like, you know, if you talk to the guy and ask him if that's what he really believed or if that's what he meant, that's fine. And if you disagree, that's fine too. But I'd rather have a chance to dialogue with people and interact with them. So I'll say what I was going to say before I forget. I went back last week to the tape to try to find out what that secret I was going to tell you was. I don't know. I'll think of it in the next few weeks, I'm sure. But let me get back to this one. I may not say this the right way, okay? So give me a little bit of grace. But I actually feel sorry for people who are delivered instantaneously, whether it be from drugs or alcohol or sexual addiction or anything, because they miss out on all these things that you learn in the struggle. There are things that you learn as you struggle and you make choices that are for righteousness and for God's way that really build a muscle in you. They build something in you that's so good and so sound. Do I think that people get delivered instantaneously? Yes, I do. I know them. I have quite a few friends, but three or four, out of thousands and thousands. But they're not very good at helping anybody. Because you know what they say to people? Well, just don't do that. Like Bob Newhart. Stop it. If you haven't seen that video, you got to see it. But his great counsel to this woman who's afraid that she's going to be buried alive in a box is to stop it. And I can't tell you how much I would love to just make that the counsel. But sometimes it doesn't work that way, or most of the time it doesn't. So most of the people I know, I'm talking about my experiences. Most of the people I know can't relate to the struggle. And because they don't relate to the struggle, they don't know how to help them in the struggle. And there's a lack of compassion and empathy that manifests sometimes. So along with that, I advise this. If you don't know what you're talking about, don't say anything. I had a friend of mine who mocked this pastor. We were staying at the pastor's house. We're his guests. And the guy brought something out to show us. And it was a little, it was stretching to believe it. But I didn't say anything. You know, I just let him share what he said. But my friend said an atrocious thing. I mean, it was amazing. I thought, and so I got up and I walked out. And later the guy goes, how come you walked out? I said, because you said what you said. He goes, well, I didn't know what to say. I said, that's when you don't say anything. Idiot. I don't think we quite got over that. But there are things like that we do, and sometimes we just probably shouldn't. The person who is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff. The wind blows away. The chaff the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. I want to read another text to you, if I can find. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4. It talks about what the Word of God does and what it's like for us. I have to separate these things before. In the Hebrews chapter 4, it says, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of heart. I mean, good night. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everyone, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We can all act how we're supposed to act for an hour on Sunday. We can all do that. But if we take our lives as a whole and we realize that God sees everything, there isn't anything hidden from him. We live our life so often like he doesn't see it, but he does, and he knows it. And so when we read the Word of God, it lays bare all of that. It just makes evident what's not evident to us. It does cut through all the sound that we get and all that we hear in this lifetime. I mean, I do from time to time. I watch a lot of documentaries, and there are some of them from the past. And they you know what they did when they worked the field and eat dinner and all that? And then they'd go to bed and go to sleep. They didn't turn on their favorite program. They didn't have a favorite program. They didn't read the latest and greatest in the newspaper. They didn't have that. They had no outside noise and no outside distraction. We have nothing but outside noise and outside distraction. And for me, it's like, it's killing my faith. It kills my faith listening to people's opinions, political or non-political, or biblically or non-biblically. You know, there's 40,000, at least 40,000 different denominations. You know how each one of them started? By a disagreement about how we're supposed to do things. The first one was in 1530. I wasn't there, but I've heard tell that it was over the type of bread that was used for communion. Boom, boom, boom. Split east from west. And then we went along for quite a while, and then Luther came along. And Luther, you know, should be one of our heroes and should be one of our non-heroes. He's got good with them and bad with them. But what he did is he opened the door for every group anywhere to just huddle together. You know, just become, okay, well, we're the first church just south of God. You guys can be Lutherans. We're going to be the first church just south of God. You know, you guys can be Baptists. You can be this. And just all this division, all this separation, all this fragmentation. And it is a tragedy, but it's also a miracle. I mean, how on earth can it work? I mean, this thing's been divided every which way it can be and over everything we can do. And yet it's still alive and living. And the words that Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. That is an astounding, astounding statement with all the division and all the strife and all the hostility and all the opinions. I remember John used to do this great thing when he was teaching in the early days of when he would go out into churches. He primarily had a ministry to the evangelical church, a church that didn't believe in present-day work and ministry of the Holy Spirit when he started doing this. And he would just talk about words and all the words that we fill the world up. We fill the room up. We fill the world up. We fill all the space with words, words, words. And they're all coming from our heart. They're not coming from God's heart. And so we're divided. Divided and weak because of that. And so the fact that we're able to meet with any unity of all is a demonstration of God's power. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it is amazing. I guarantee you that you don't agree with me on some things. I know you're shocked. But it's true. And I probably don't agree with you on some things. But I don't care. They're just my idea. They're just my take on things. They're not the sovereign word of God. They're not, you know, I can live with the fact that we don't believe the same thing about some things. I can't live with the fact that we don't believe the same thing about Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, and that his name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of the Father. That's what we need to agree on. And the other stuff really isn't all that important. We make it really important. We argue about it. There's, okay, in 2 Corinthians, this is like three things. The three things I depend on to understand what the Word of God is saying. One is I depend on the Holy Spirit. Okay? And two, I depend on it resonating with the Word of God that we have. Because we do have access to the Word of God like no other people ever did. You probably have 7 translations on your phone. And then three is that it resonates with the body of Christ. It fosters unity. And it fosters faith. And so if what I'm saying, what I'm doing, is not fostering unity and not fostering faith and is dividing people, I might think twice about opening my mouth. You know? I think if I saw like there was a rendering from heaven that drew a picture of the body of Christ, it would be one big mouth. It would be one big, I mean, we have a lot to say about everything. I mean, if you know anything about Facebook, you'll know that there are a lot of people with a lot of different opinions. And it's one of the reasons I just need to not hear it. I don't want to hear from anybody. I just want to hear the words of Jesus and the words of the apostles. The apostles as identified in the New Testament. I'm full of surprises. This one is another thing I will surprise you with. You know that there are only 12 thrones in heaven for the apostles. Let it sink in. What am I saying? There's about Well, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people on this earth that are either named or called. They call themselves apostles. I would say, okay, that's fine. Just take the capital A out from in front of it. Because there are no more thrones in heaven, okay, for these people. These people may have apostolic influence in more than one place. They may have apostolic authority, but there are only 12 apostles appointed by Jesus. And we can be a facsimile of them, but we're not going to be them. We're not going to take their place. We're not going to have a rotation in heaven on who gets to sit on a throne for the next hour and go through. I mean, we just kind of get carried away sometimes. Anyway, let me get back to the Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." Man, take that one seriously. "No, we declare the God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God is destined for our glory before time began. Neither the rulers of this age understand it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has the human mind conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit." I always, for a long time, many years, heard that quote from Scripture and kind of stopped, you know. But it doesn't stop with the things being hidden. It stopped with the things being revealed by his Holy Spirit. We are not orphans. We're not left to ourselves. We're given a rich vastness of God's wisdom by his Holy Spirit. So as we read the Word of God, I mean, let's try to tune out all other noise and let's hear what Jesus says. And you know what we're going to do every Wednesday night for 7 or 8 weeks? We're going to be open here and we're not going to do anything formal, but we're going to be here, anybody who wants to, and is reading through the Scriptures. And if you have questions or you have an insight or you have a revelation and you want to test it out, we're going to bring our eggs and tomatoes and they'll be soft. Let's share with one another what the Lord is saying from his Word. I would want nothing more than for those who feel inclined to give prophetic words or feel like they're gifted prophetically to be full of the Word. There's nothing you can say that is more insightful and more powerful than what he has already said. Now, can you add a dimension to it or come at it from a different angle? Yes, you can, and that's very helpful. So, but anyway, Wednesday nights, we gather here, whoever wants to. If there's three people, there's three people. If there's 10, there's 10. If there's 20. And we're just going to just encourage each other as long as there is today. And as long as we can gather in his name, we're going to gather in his name. And we're going to try to discern his voice for us as a people. Does that make sense? So we have to hear, we have to be full of the Word of God. We have to be full of the Spirit of God. And we have to be in connection with the body of Christ. And that one is under great dispute today. I mean, lots and lots of arguments. Lots and lots of people that have left the body of Christ and are hurt and angry and bitter and all that stuff. And I understand it. I get it. But you know what? There's no answer in that. There's no answer in being bitter. There's no answer in just bathing in your hurt and sustaining your anger. It doesn't mean that you haven't been hurt. But you know where you go with your hurt? To the cross. To the cross is covered with all that holly and stuff. We take our hurt to the cross. That's the only place we get healed. It really is. Doesn't mean that we don't learn and do all the other human interaction things, speaking the truth and love and things like that. But the ultimate solution is in the cross. That's what he died for. That's what he came for. So, if you will, I'm going to pass these things out, and you guys can help me. That's not a thing. So this is just a program of reading through the Bible. And I did, you know, I checked with a friend of mine who's an actual theologian, writes theological books and things I can't even understand. And I said, well, how would you approach doing what we're doing? And he basically, it's outlined. He said, just read Matthew as Matthew. You read Luke as Luke. Just read in the whole of what they are. And just let it penetrate. And so what this says is you'll read it every day or you'll listen to it every day. I mean, many of you drive to work. You could do this in your sleep. I mean, so it's just a way to be full of the word and to change our hearts. So does that resonate with you at all? Thank you, Lori. The rest of you get C's on your paper. Kathy. You know, my year has been an incredible year. I mean, it started with the death of a very close friend who produced all my music, and it would have never gone anywhere without him. And he died suddenly in January. And then I went to his gathering, and that's when I came back, and on my way back, I had the stroke, the first stroke. And then I was doing really well, and then I had the second stroke. And I've been recovering ever since. And you always ask me how I am, and it's a hard question to answer. I'm fine in so many ways, but I'm not fine in many ways. So I'm a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. I'm still learning how to walk. By the way, you know, Don and the Ken Long and Trevor and Alyssa Simons and Jonna and what's her name over there? Yeah, Caitlin. She's leaving Tuesday, Wednesday. But you'll come in Wednesday morning still, right? No. But we need to be praying for them. I mean, two of them left pretty sick. I mean, Alyssa sounded horrible. And Don had been horrible. And traveling is not a refreshing thing. So we need to pray for God's protection on them. And every day, keep them in prayer. And we'll update you as we can. So those of you who get Facebook, you can keep us all abreast.